When I preach on Sunday morning, I'll ask Reuben for some advice to get started. And this morning he said, slow down, take a deep breath, speak up, and pray. Now, except for the speaking up and the praying part, I've had contrary advice. But it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be able to bring a lesson from God's Word. I get wired up here. And hopefully everybody can hear me in the back. I want to begin this morning certainly by welcoming all of our visitors and like to let you know what an inspiration you are to me and an encouragement to everyone around you. And we're so honored to have you with us and hope that you'll come back and worship with us whenever you have the opportunity. Our regular preacher, Nate, as you know, is traveling in Colorado. He's taking a lesson out there, and I'm filling in for him. So I'm always thankful for the opportunity to bring a lesson from God's Word. When I was working for the Commonwealth of Virginia as a director, I had the responsibility of performing annual reviews at one time for about 20, 25 or so people. And I can tell you this was the worst part of my job. I had to evaluate the person, match their strength and their weaknesses to these individuals against those standards that the state had set forth. And if there was money in the budget, and I made a special note here, and Trey just went like that. If there was money in the budget, what a joke. What a joke that was sometimes. And folks would get an increase based on their performance. That's the way it was supposed to go. But a lot of times, my evaluation of someone's strengths and their weaknesses for that particular person didn't match what that person, what their perception of themselves was. And I guess you can think, you know, how things went from there. Sometimes there was not pleasant days that followed that. But if you stop and think about it, it's really easy for us sometimes to think more highly of ourselves than we really should. We have a Father in heaven who has set forth standards for us to live by. And while we are in this life, we're given the responsibility to continually evaluate ourselves against those standards, the standards that He has set forth in the Bible. When this life is over, then our Father will give us life's review, if you will. It won't be an annual review or a weekly review. It'll be life's review. And then He'll reward us accordingly based on how we've lived our lives. You know, it's such a wonderful blessing to have sight. We look into the mirror and we see a reflection of who we are. We see the beauty of nature that surrounds us in this world. But if we stop and think about it, our sight is really limited to the physical things of this world. And this morning what I want to do is I want to focus on the spiritual sight of man rather than the physical sight of it. And being more specific, I want to focus on the spiritually examining ourselves. The Word of God tells us that God looks at the inner person. He doesn't look at the physical person. In 1 Samuel 16 there, when the Lord had selected a king to come after King Saul, He sends His prophet Samuel to go to Jesse. Jesse called Abinadab to anoint one of his sons that the Lord has chosen. And I picked the reading up there in Samuel 16 and verse 6. When they entered, he, being Samuel, looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. First, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then after all of Abinadab's sons who were present there passed by them, none of them were chosen. Then we skip down to verse 11. there of 1 Samuel 16, we read, "And Samuel said to Abinadab, are these all the children? And he said, no, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending sheep. Then Samuel said to Abinadab, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So then in verse 12, he says, "So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." Then if we go ahead and back up into 1 Samuel chapter 13, that God, his selection to follow Saul as king, we can read there about how the next king would be a man after God's own heart. So here Samuel is being told to go to Saul and to tell him this. In verse 14 there of 1 Samuel 13, "The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him," talking about David, "as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." The fact is that God doesn't care about our personal or physical appearance, as it were. God cares about what's in our heart. And you know, it's amazing that we are able to see everyone else's faults from time to time, but then when we look at ourselves, somehow we become blind. And over in Matthew 7 there, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 5, says, "Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye, and look, the plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye, then you will be able to see more clearly to move the speck from your brother's eye." So we can ask ourselves the question this morning, are we too quick to criticize others, maybe even a brother or sister in Christ? Scriptures teach us that first we are to correct our own faults and correct our own shortcomings before we can help somebody else. As Christians, we are to continually examine ourselves. We are continually supposed to prove ourselves. And this isn't a one-time process. We just don't do it one time. We do it on an ongoing basis. It might be a daily activity, but we are to do it ongoing. And we learn from Paul there in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to examine ourselves every time we observe the Lord's Supper. And we oftentimes will see the men read that scripture when we're doing the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 11, "Therefore, whoever eats his bread or drinks his cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many are asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." First Corinthian believers here were violating the spirit. They were violating the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And in verse 31, it's clear to us in this reading that if we are unwilling to examine ourselves, then we are going to be chastened by the Lord. Actually, examining ourselves is not limited to the first day, as I mentioned before. But we should always be conscious. Always be conscious of ourselves in what we are thinking, in what we are doing. As we look further into this lesson this morning, what are some reasons that we should examine ourselves? One reason we should examine ourselves is to determine if we are in the faith. In other words, are we faithful Christians? 2 Corinthians verse 13, beginning in verse 5, Paul instructs us to examine ourselves. He says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. So here Paul is encouraging these Corinthians to test themselves, to see if they're in the faith, to see if Christ was in them. He knew that the Corinthians there were believers, and he wanted them to ask themselves whether or not they were walking in the faith, walking according to the gospel. You and I can know whether or not we are walking in the faith. You can ask yourself that question right now. Are you walking in the faith? Are you a faithful Christian? You know if you are or if you're not. I certainly can't be the judge of your faith. The only person I can be the judge of faith is me. And since this is a yes or no question, it's possible that you might find that the answer is no. No, I'm not walking in the faith for one reason or another. And we find that we've neglected our salvation. And perhaps we've drifted away. In Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore we must give more earnest heed to those we have heard, lest we drift away. For the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first to be spoken by the Lord was confirmed by those of us who heard him? This is also a warning for us, is that we need to continually be on guard for our souls. Our determination to study and our determination to grow in the faith will keep us from drifting. And it is possible for us to develop an evil heart of unbelief. In Hebrews 3, beginning in verse 12 through 14 there, says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Another reason that we should examine ourselves is to determine if Christ is in us. In John 14, verse 21, we read there, beginning in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be beloved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will reveal myself to him if we love him. Moving on to verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. We know if Christ dwells in us. We know when we're taught the plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, and when once we obey it, then we know if Christ is in us. It all starts with baptism. There in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26, we read there, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Then we must continue through life in obedience to him. We must walk that walk of faith. The need for self-examination is so important. It's a life or death matter. If we're going to keep His word, if we're going to be judged by it, then we're going to have to know what the word says. We're going to have to read it, and we're going to have to study it, and we're going to have to understand God's instructions to us. We have to pick it up and read it. Another reason we should examine ourselves is to determine if we're disqualified. When we think of the word disqualified, it's because that we failed the test. We failed to live our lives as a faithful Christian. And we failed to have Christ in us. We don't love Him enough. And there are several verses that we could go to, but I want to look at 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you and also to in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, be aware lest you also fall from steadfastness, being led away with error, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. We can become disqualified, and we can fall away when we're led by sin. We are warned to be steadfast. We're warned to be steadfast in our faith, and we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is a daily challenge to overcome as we meet those obstacles of sin on a daily basis. In addition to reading and understanding God's word, we need to put it into action. It's okay to read it, to study it, and to understand it, but then you have to do something with it. In James 1, beginning in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. It's not hard to determine whether or not we are doers or hearers of the word. All you have to do is think back over the last month. Think back over the last year. How did you give of your resources? How about your time? Did you comfort someone? Did you make a concerning phone call to help someone? Or send an uplifting card? Or teach a class? Or for the men, learn how to lead in worship service? Take time to listen to someone else's problems and things like that. So are you a doer of the word? Are we doers of the word, include myself, and not just a hearer? And here's the next question. What standard should we use to examine ourselves? Well, we can't trust ourselves to evaluate ourselves. Like Paul, we could be wrong in our assumptions about ourselves. In Acts 26 there, beginning in verse 9, Paul thought persecuting Christians was pleasing to God. In verse 9 there, Paul says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And it goes on to tell about all those terrible things that he did to Christians. There are those who think by their own reasoning and estimates that they're living right. But we read there in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Comparing ourselves to others or looking for approval from men is not the standard that we should use to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we read there, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We should not worry about some other people's accomplishments, but ask yourself, how does your life measure up to what God wants you to do? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, in this life, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I can't stand in judgment for you, and you can't stand in judgment for me. It's an individual matter. That's why self-examination is so important. There's really only one standard by which we can examine ourselves, and that's the Word of God. If you will, just consider these verses this morning. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18, for it's not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. And in John 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. The very word that we have. The urgency and the importance of continually measuring ourselves against the standards that have been set by God, it really can't be overstated. There are times in our lives where we would rather put this off. You know, we may not have time to do it. Or worse yet, we may be afraid to take that approach, only to find out that we find that we're disqualified. We've matched our life against God's word, and we see for ourselves it doesn't match. And that's the whole point of spiritual examination, so that we can compare our lives to the Word of God and give ourselves that opportunity to change while we live in this life and not trust our feelings to ourselves or to what other men may say. You can ask yourself these questions. Are you in the faith? Is Christ living in you? Am I abiding in his word? Am I keeping his commandments? Am I living my life in such a way that I can inherit eternal life? In Luke 10, beginning in verse 25, we have these familiar words. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And the lawyer answers him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Take time. Take that time to look at yourself. And I, you know, when we do lessons, you know, I'm the benefactor of this lesson. You know, I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking to other people. Take time to look at yourself. Don't find yourself disqualified when this life is over. Guard your relationship with the Lord. Guard it by maintaining that fellowship with him. Be faithful in your study. Be faithful in your prayers and in your worship to him. Serve others. with the gifts that God has blessed you with. Serve those who have never heard the gospel. So if there's anyone here this morning who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you want to make that good confession, you want to repent of your past sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins, you can start a brand new life, a new life in Christ. You can begin your life wanting to be a faithful Christian. And after you're baptized, if you'll walk in the way that Christ has set forward in his word and walk that way for the rest of your life, then you will be qualified. You'll be qualified to receive that crown of life, and you'll be able to live with the Lord for an eternity. What a wonderful thing. And perhaps you found yourself disqualified, and you need to be restored perhaps in a public way. We stand ready to do anything that we can for anyone here this morning. If we can help you in any way today, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.